Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete.
On today's show, we'll be talking about music performance and annotation. First, we'll meet a musician and music producer from Cairo, Egypt. We'll talk with him about learning and performing music, and then we'll wrap up with a discussion of Sibelius, a music notation and editing program that he makes great use of. Before we get started, we'd like to say hello to some people who've contacted us. George and Eva phoned from Sweden and left us a nice message. Pancho from Azerbaijan, Adrian from Indiana, Daniel from California, and Jessica from Colorado all liked us on Facebook. Now, Viewpoints was taken on Facebook, so our Facebook page is Viewpoints Plus. So turning now to our tip of the week. This week's tip is use MIDI Mag. It's a very useful resource for the blind. It stands for MIDI Magazine. And MIDI, in turn, stands for
Musical Instrument Digital Interface. So it's essentially for connecting instruments, keyboards, and other instruments to a computer. And as you play the instrument or keyboard, these controls and digital signals get sent to a computer or some kind of other device that actually produces the music and or records those digital sounds. The MIDI Mag list has been a very useful resource for me to learn about how to interface computers with instruments, how to produce music and different things about music. Basically, you subscribe to it on the web and you get emails back and forth from list members, and they're all there to help each other. And most of them are blind. They're blind musicians of one sort or another, either performing or working with computers, writing programs to help access the programs. And there's just a lot of information being shared on that list. I've learned a lot. I've also had the opportunity to help others on that list. And so it's a very good community for sharing this type of information. Anyway, if you're a musician, professional, or aspiring musician, or have an interest in music or performing or anything to do with software, you might want to subscribe to the MIDI Mag list. And you can do that by going to their homepage at www.midimag.org. MIDIMAG.org. You can find a link there for subscribing to their distribution list and receive emails and share your experiences with other blind musicians around the world.
And that's how we met Rami Mustafa. And here he is playing our breaker tune on the piano. Turning now to our low-tech item, let's meet Rami Mustafa. That was him playing the breaker, which is called
Kol Shei Rah Wun'ada by a very famous singer here in Egypt called Naget.
And here he is describing himself and a little bit about what he does.
My name is Rami Mustafa. I am from Egypt. I born in 1982. I am totally blind from Perth. I graduated from the Faculty of Musical Education in Cairo, and I play piano when I was 6 years old. And now I have my own studio for producing music, arranging write down music notes, etc. And I'm working as a music teacher in a school. I graduated my faculty in 2004. And I decided not to work as a teacher. But in 2009, I don't know why I changed my mind. And I went to work in a school for sighted children. It was a challenge for me to be how to try to make control on my class and so on. And the most important thing is that my manager was the first one that helps me or to encourage me that you will succeed. I worked there for 2 years, but I left it because it was too far from my home. And now I am working in a school for blinds.
Although his English is excellent, there was a little bit of a language issue when we asked him about his visual impairment. Among other things, what he refers to as his faculty is what we would call college or university.
As a matter of fact, I don't know how to describe it in English. I can see, but I don't know the name for my problem exactly. But I went to many doctors and so on, and they told me that till now we don't have a solution for your problem. I can see some light, I can see people like shadows, but I can't tell you, مثلا, if you have a big ear, a small eye, and so on, I can't distinguish, but I can see shadows. I'm using a telescopic cane. As a matter of fact, I loved it so much. It's not so hard like the original cane, but I love it because it's très chic. Concerning Braille, yes, I finished all my studies till the secondary stage with Braille. But when I entered my faculty, I didn't use in Braille at all. But yes, till now I can read and write Braille.
So how did you read and write? Audio then? Or you didn't use print, I take it?
I learned Braille from baby class, and I tried to improve it. And I use it until, as I told you, I finished my secondary stage. But in my university, I didn't use Braille at all. And the only thing is that some of my friends can help me by recording the syllabus, or we can make some kind of research, etc. But I didn't use Braille at all. Even in my exams, I can take a doctor from my university. He can write to me what I will tell him to write.
So you do your exams and work mostly through audio?
Yeah. And even here, my computer didn't help me achieving my university at all, because the Arabic screen readers were not developed until 2004. So I didn't use them at all to read my syllabus and so on. Now the Arabic screen reader is okay and it can work. And I know some blind students now that are using the Arabic screen reader to read their syllabus.
So I thought it was interesting when we talked to Rami about his use of screen readers. He talked about using them a little bit. It turns out that he uses JAWS, but JAWS does not actually speak Arabic, although it will pronounce the letters. So maybe that's partially useful, but so he actually had to learn another language and make sure he was very fluent in another language to be able to use a screen reader in Egypt.
You are listening to Viewpoints.
This week's focus topic is playing, learning, reading, and writing music for a blind person. Rami is and has been at various times both a performer and a music producer. His primary instrument is the piano, which you heard him play a little bit earlier, but he also plays the flute.
From 1999 till 2009, I was working in band here, and I from 2007, I was working as a piano player in the Cairo Opera House. But now I left the live playing. I'm working in my studio and the school as well. But I hope to play in a good band. But till now, I can't find a good band to play. And I'm trying to make other productions for other singers.
So he's pretty versatile. I mean, between going all the way from playing at the Opera House to, if you go to his Facebook page, you'll hear him playing some native Egyptian music and classical Western music and all sorts of different kinds of music. He's been playing music of one form or another since he was a child, and we asked him how he learns new music.
I learned my music from a music teacher that my mom and my dad brought to me. Until primary one, I was learning by ear, but my teacher decided to teach me how to read and write music notes. So I learned how to read music notes in Braille since I was 7 years old, let's say. And until I enter my university, I learned the music notes in Braille. And when I enter my university, I tried to understand the sighted music stuff in order to interact with them.
Although it's possible to notate music in Braille, the Braille representation is very different from what a sighted person would see on a page of printed music. In particular, Braille, you can only read one note at a time, and so everything's written out left to right, whereas in printed music, you have chords lined up and down, and so it's much more compact, and it's kind of a two-dimensional display.
Yeah, Braille is more linear, written across the line. Right. You really don't read it in two dimensions like you do print.
And Rami had to learn how to use a program called Sibelius so that he could interact more seamlessly with the sighted musicians. And we'll be talking more about Sibelius later.
So I've actually learned a little bit of Braille when I was really young, probably in second or third grade. I went to a school for the blind, and they started teaching us some simple Braille music. And it was not easy. It was very difficult. You know, because it's a very different paradigm than you're used to seeing notes across the staff line and all. Also, when I was young, I used to be able to see somewhat by holding a book maybe a few inches from my nose. And so the way I read my music was I could read like a measure at a time or so, and then I'd memorize that and then play it on the keyboard and then come back, learn the next measure. By the time I memorized the piece, I was kind of sick of it, and of course, that's the point where you really want to start making it a piece of music as opposed to just a bunch of collected notes.
So, and that wasn't so bad when he was first starting out and he was playing Row, Row, Row Your Boat or something really trivial, but when he got up to Chopin and Beethoven and that crowd, there were a lot of notes on the page.
I actually had a little contraption screwed onto my piano that held the music very close to my face, so I didn't have to lean over so much. So it was a little bit easier, but still it was difficult to read and play at the same time because I couldn't see that much of the score at one time. So actually later on in life, when I was in graduate school, someone introduced me to jazz, and I had never heard much jazz as a kid. You know, mostly as a kid, they want to teach you kind of classically the Chopin, Beethoven, Bach, and stuff like that because it's good for your fingers, they told me. But when I got turned on to jazz, I had actually been to music programs when I was a kid on weekends at a music school, so I had a fair amount of music theory in my background. And it was very easy to pick up the jazz, knowing about, you know, harmony and chordal structures and, you know, how to write melodies and transpose and things like that. And I found the jazz very much easier to learn because, first of all, you know, you could hear something, and if you train your ears, you can learn to play melodies that you hear. And then once you know a little bit of theory, it was easy to put together your own chord arrangements and make the music sound like music. And, you know, I was able to be a little bit more free than with classical music where every note had to be in its right place and all. So that's what I enjoy now.
So Rami plays in various bands, including one group of five where three of them are blind, including the leader. Now, one might think that that might present special challenges because most of them couldn't see, but whenever they want to cue each other for what's going to happen next, they just listen to each other. And the kind of music that that group plays is very conducive to improvisation and cueing off one another.
Do you learn these tunes with the group by ear now or through Sibelius or how?
As a matter of fact, in our Oriental music, piano does not have a big part or a big part that need to know by notes. So it's just by ear and all is going okay. We don't have a piano forte, fortissimo, etc. No. It's just that you can play the ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta and that's all.
So I guess there's a fair amount of improvisation in what Rami does these days. I also play with a trio, a jazz trio. We play mostly jazz standards from the 30s and 40s. If you want to hear some of our music, you can go to our website, www.torpeytrio.com. That's TORPEY trio.com. I play piano, and we have a bass player and a guitar player. And often, for us to get together on our music, I'll use Band in the Box, actually, which we talked about several shows ago. I'll use Band in the Box to print out lead sheets for the other musicians, and I learn the songs from Band in the Box myself, because in Band in the Box, I can scroll through the chords, so I know if there's a C minor or a G7 flatted 9 or something like that, and I can listen to the melody and make sure I have the melody right, and once I get that in my head, I can make up my own arrangement. And I'll pass out the lead sheets to the other musicians. And then when we get together, we usually agree on an arrangement. So being the piano player, I'll usually be leading what goes on, and people generally follow me, although we kind of know whose solo is when and how many solos you're going to take. So there is some structure there. But, you know, every once in a while something happens, and, you know, as a musician, any musician, you have to use your ears to pay attention to what's going on and what the other musicians are doing. And so everything seems to work out pretty well for us, even though, you know, I can't see any cues from people.
So apparently there aren't a whole lot of blind musicians in Egypt who can help Rami with his specialty software packages, but fortunately he's found other ways to get help.
In Egypt, I can't find anyone to teach me how to record, how to do anything. Without the MIDI Maglist, I will not be able to know anything about music, about sonar, about how to record itself, how to record anything.
I think it's interesting what you said about the MIDI mag list is, you know, one of the things that we often stress in the show is that, you know, the concentration of blind people isn't always that great in one area. So through the internet, it's been a great resource that you can pull from all around. I was wondering, are there other resources besides MIDI mag that are like that, that you pull from?
There are some MIDI lists, but I think all the members are from MIDI Mag, like JSONR, etc. But all my info are from MIDI Mag or from some special people from MIDI Mag also. But I can talk with them privately through Skype, through the different things. I need to invite all people to learn through the internet, really. Because for me, I learned through the internet because I can't find here a blind musician that can teach me. So through the internet, we can learn everything that we need, especially with Skype these days, etc. We can achieve different things that we can't achieve in past years.
So again, here's the contact information for MIDI Mag that he talked about so much. It's www.midimag.org. And Skype, which is a way of talking to people over the computer with or without video. And that's at www.skype.com. And we talked about Skype at some length in show 1111, which you can find through the archives at www.viewpointsplus.net. You know, Rami mentioned that there aren't a lot of resources for blind people in Egypt to help him with his music. Well, apparently there aren't a lot of resources for blind people at all in Egypt. And listening to him makes us feel really lucky with all of the resources that are available to us here.
In this country, we have like the National Library Service that, you know, circulates audio and braille material. We have Bookshare we can use in this country, and I think you can't use that in many other countries. I was wondering what kind of services are available in Egypt.
Oh, it's a frustrating matter, I think, because we don't have here any kind of this libraries. Now I'm trying with the help of a great professor here to build a DAISY library in Egypt for all the syllabus and book. But here we have some braille book, and the containing audio, we have volunteers in different places that can record books, but not like the RNIB or something like this. We must find a solution for syllabus and so on to be able to make the blind student as equal as any other sighted student. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we tend to take a lot for granted in this country with the kind of support networks and resources that are available to us. And we don't think about how difficult it is for folks like Rami, where the government doesn't support those kinds of things, and people just have to overcome those barriers by themselves or have some very good friends to help them. The other thing that part of this talk with Rami pointed out to us was the power of the internet. So in general, there aren't enough density of blind folks in one place to get together and form groups, you know, in person to be able to work out these problems, overcome these difficulties. But the internet has really connected people from around the world so they can interact, share their experiences, help each other. And that's been a very powerful tool. And Rami talked a bit about that, how his use of the MIDI Mag list has acquainted him with many other blind musicians from around the world, you know, including myself. using Skype has been an invaluable tool, so he can actually talk with these other blind musicians in person and interact and work out difficulties with programs they might be having or share their access tips and stuff like that. So the internet has really changed things a lot and made these things a little bit easier to overcome. But still, in some parts of the world, it's a bit more of a struggle than it is in this country to overcome these challenges.
That was Rami playing the piano again. Now for this week's high-tech item, Sibelius. Sibelius is a music notation and editing program that is capable of producing professional-looking scores for either an individual instrument or a group as large as a full orchestra. It can also play any file that is in either MIDI or Sibelius format, so you can hear what the written music sounds like. If you're trying to compose something, you put the notes on the, well, kind of on the page into the computer, and you can hit a button and it'll play it for you, which is a wonderful tool if you're composing. Rami told us that Jaws scripts are available for Sibelius 5 that enable him to effectively use the program. The current version is Sibelius 7. He's pretty sure that Sibelius version 7 is more accessible out of the box, but he's still working with Sibelius 5 because it's working for him. And he's hoping that the scripts become available soon for Sibelius 7 to pick up any slack that remains over the out-of-the-box accessibility.
Yeah, I think based on the input from a lot of visually impaired users, Sibelius has actually incorporated a lot of keyboard commands that enable people to access almost every feature within Sibelius. One reason that Rami uses Sibelius is we talked about Braille being very different than music printed on the staff lines and stuff like that. And he has to interact with a lot of sighted colleagues and other musicians. So Sibelius has been a real enabler for him to do that and share his musical inspirations and work with other people and vice versa.
And then for producing music, he usually uses Sonar with the Jaws scripts JSonar to make Sonar workable.
So the scripts that Rami uses for Sibelius 5 were developed by a person named Dan Rugman over in the United Kingdom. And those scripts can be accessed. Do you have the webpage?
I do. Dan Rugman has a webpage called www.musicaccess, all one word, .co.uk. And then there's a easy to find link to Sibelius Access, and that'll take you right to the scripts. Dan Rugman is also an interesting guy. He's blind and a classically trained composer, singer, and piano player. And in order to work with some of these tools, he needed the scripts, and so he wrote them, and now he makes them available to everybody else who can use them, which is pretty nice.
We'll try to put together a show later in the year on actually using Sibelius with a screen reader and to see how accessible it is. But for now, we'll just let you know that it does exist and it is accessible and you can find out more.
And the way Dan describes what he's created and has available on his website is, and I'm just reading from the website, Sibelius Access is a set of JAWS scripts and manuscript plugins which makes Sibelius more accessible to visually impaired users. Sibelius is a leading notation and composition package used by many well-known composers and music institutions. It also has its own scripting language, Manuscript, which of course is not spelled the way manuscript normally is. They spell it capital M-A-N-U, capital S-C-R-Y-P-T. And this can be used to automate complex or highly specialized tasks. Sibelius Access uses both JAWS scripts and manuscript plugins to make Sibelius Access a practical tool for blind musicians who need to compose original works or study complex scores, which would be too bulky in Braille.
There is a website at the Royal National Institute for the Blind where they have a music technology site where they talk about and have links to other aspects of using Sibelius. You can keep track of the latest news and other similar music composition and editing programs, as well as some music production software. So you might want to go to that website and see what's available.
And how to find that is you go to www.rnib.org.uk and then just do a search in their search field for Sibelius Accessibility. And then if you scroll down a little bit, you'll get to this information. And in case you can't guess, Sibelius, named after the composer, is spelled S-I-B-E-L-I-U-S. But trust me, we've spelled it about six other ways. But this one's correct. And if you go to the Sibelius site, which is at www.sibelius.com, right on their homepage, they have a link to their latest version, which is Sibelius 7, which according to them is the most accessible version ever. Every feature on the ribbon can be accessed via a special sequence of key presses called key tips. What's more, Sibelius now has built-in support for screen reading software on Windows, making it more accessible than ever to blind and visually impaired musicians.
Oh, I should mention also that I asked Rami if you could actually hear the music that you put into the Sibelius staff lines and stuff. And it turns out that, of course, they hook up to a MIDI interface, and you can hear the notes as you're entering them, or you can hear the full orchestral arrangement of what you've written on the score. So it's a very interesting program.
So we'd like to thank Rami Mustafa one more time. And if you like his music, you can hear more of it at his YouTube channel, and that's at www.youtube.com/Rami Mustafa Sabr. And I'm going to spell all that. www.youtube.com/RamyMustafaSaber. That's it for this week's show. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll be talking about the new features in JAWS 13. We'll take a look at some of the exciting features in the newly released version of JAWS. You can learn how the convenient OCR feature, now built into JAWS, enables users to do more things than before, and find out what training resources are available for learning how to use the new JAWS and some of its specialized functions. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to reachout@wxxi.org or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. This program was hosted by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show by going to our website at wxxi.org/reachout and clicking on the podcast's link. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.